One of the most difficult sections in the entire Torah comes at the outset of our Parsha, and that is the section of Eshes Yefas Toar, the beautiful captive non-Jewish woman who the Jewish soldier sees in battle and takes back to his home. Unlike what would undoubtedly happen in an ancient army, and probably still happens in many contemporary armies, where you would have had a one-time fling of kind of a sexual assault nature, and then the woman would be discarded, the Torah rather requires the man to bring this woman back to his house, and to wait a month, during which time there'll be a certain protocol, the details of which we'll get to in a few moments. And then, at the end, if he still wants to marry her, he converts her, she becomes a full-fledged Jew, and then he marries her, and then as husband and wife, of course, they live a normal and full married life. Only after that month and that whole protocol can he marry her and be intimate with her. That is the section of the Torah known as Eshes Yefas Toar. And I'd like to share with you two different approaches to this very difficult section of the Torah, that of Rashi on the one hand, and on the other hand, the Ramban. Rashi begins his comments by focusing on the statement in Chazal, in the Gemara, L'dibra Torah Ela K'neged Yetzer Hara. This whole Parsha is one of the very few and very rare examples where the Torah seems to have a concession to the baser instincts and urges of a man, of a person's Yetzer Hara. We know that pretty much the rest and most of the Torah is about Kedusha, Kedoshim to you, and about self-discipline and self-control and overcoming one's base urges. And yet here we have an example, perhaps there's a few others, but it's certainly a very rare phenomenon, where the Torah doesn't require us to resist or overcome our urges, rather makes a certain concession to them. True, it provides a framework, and it does elevate, but fundamentally, Rashi admits the obvious, that this is not what we would have expected. This is not fighting the Yetzer Hara, but in a certain sense, making a concession to the Yetzer Hara. But given that entire outlook on this, no surprise, Rashi basically thinks that since this is obviously so bidyevid and so not ideal, really all the protocol that the Torah describes in the subsequent psukim, it's all about hoping to dissuade the man from going through with this. So therefore, for example, when the Torah tells us in Pasuk Yud Bet that you shave her head, so Rashi explains that you shave all of her hair, so she looks ugly. Kadesha titnavel. You became attracted to her, that's why you brought her home. Now realize that she's not so attractive. Furthermore, the Torah says, ast es tziporneha. And Rashi explains, based on one of the opinions in the Medrash, it means let her hair nails grow long, but in a very wild, unkempt, unmanicured way, to further make her look unattractive. The next pasuk says she changes out of her clothes and puts something else on. And Rashi explains that previously she was wearing not only beautiful, but seductive clothing. And therefore, we have her put on something simple and less attractive. And then the Torah says she has to stay in the house of the man where she cries every day for a month for her parents. And there again, Rashi explains that it has to be in her house and she's crying every day so that every day, day in and day out, the man, this soldier, sees this woman who used to look so beautiful, and now she's wearing simple clothing, her nails are unkempt, her hair is shaved, and she's crying every day. The whole thing hopefully will be so unattractive that he'll be repulsed, and he'll change his mind. Hopefully he won't want to marry her. Rashi concludes by saying that if, hopefully is the case, he doesn't marry her, he doesn't get to say, well, I'm not marrying you, but I'm going to keep you as a slave. Rather, he has to let her go free. No strings attached. So this is Rashi's overall approach. It's a tremendous compromise and concession to the Yetzer Hara, and therefore all of the details that are subsequently mentioned in the Torah are all about hopefully making this not happen, hopefully allowing the man to have second thoughts and to change his mind and not go through with it. Ramban has a different approach entirely to the Parsha, and Ramban says that the key phrase is when the Torah says that she will cry for her parents. Ubachsa es aviya ves ima. Says the Ramban, what's going on here is the Torah is encouraging her to mourn not only her parents, but her overall past life, her past culture, her past country, and even her past avodah zarah. We want her to be able to mourn it by way of psychologically closing the chapter, closing the door on that part of her life. He explains, says the Ramban, that all of these halachos that are mentioned in these psukim, they're all fitting into the pattern of nihuge avelus, ways of demonstrating and fulfilling mourning protocols. Shaving your head, plus he understands astat tziporneha, according to a different opinion, which means she also has to cut her nails very short. These are all, Ramban shows from other places in Tanakh, these are all actions of mourning. When she takes off her clothing, Ramban says as well, she changes into different big de'avela, special mourning clothing. And when the Torah says she has to stay in the house, the focus is not that she should be unattractive, the way Rashi said, but rather she has to stay in the house, because every Avel has to stay in the Shiva house. So in her case, it'll be for a whole month, a Shloshim house. But that's the idea. It's not to make her unattractive, but it's to give a whole framework for her to mourn her past life. Now, why should this be the case? Why are we trying to get her to mourn? So Ramban explains, because if they end up getting married, if it would be without this, if she would just be taken off the battlefield, right to the mikvah, thrust into the mikvah and converted, that would clearly not be a sincere conversion. That's a geiris ba'al karcha. And therefore, we're doing everything we can, not just to help her mourn, but to help her come to grips with the fact that her old life has ended, and she can start a new chapter in her life. We want her to be able to confront and to process in a healthy way, but hopefully in a way that's full-hearted, in a leif shalem, that she can, so to speak, say goodbye to her past life, including, says Ramban, her past avodah zarah, and therefore more fully accept the possibility of being a Jewish wife to this hopefully nice Jewish man, and accepting Judaism more wholeheartedly. All of the halachos in that waiting period of a month, says Ramban, are in order for that to happen. Because if he marries her at any point sooner than that, and without this process going forward, it's unclear and really unlikely that her conversion would be sincere, or that she would really be b'lev shalem, living with him as man and wife. And says Ramban, it's certainly not appropriate to be with a woman who doesn't really want to be with you, who's still thinking of her past life, and it's certainly not appropriate to marry someone or convert someone who's not fully and wholeheartedly and sincerely converting. And therefore, although Ramban agrees with Rashi that ideally this shouldn't happen, that I think they both agree, but the fundamental problem that the various details in the halachos that the psukim are describing, that these various halachos, these details, the fundamental problem that it's coming to solve seems to be different. According to Rashi, the goal is to make her unattractive so that he won't want to marry her, and according to the Ramban, it's to help her more fully come to grips with marrying him and converting, so that in case he does decide to marry her, it'll be a more appropriate conversion and a more healthy marriage.